I'd like to heartily welcome you all here this morning to the house of prayer, where we want to look into God's Word, and I guess maybe you know, I'm not Henry Reimer, I'm Dick Reimer, but most of you are probably aware that there was a ministerial conference going on in Alberta, and so a lot of ministers went. And so on Monday, Henry messaged me and asked if I could take his place here. I think at first he thought he would be back by now, but he's not. And usually your home deacon will take a place if a minister can't be there, but apparently the deacon from McGregor went too, and so your deacon Jake is in McGregor this morning. So that's how that works. But anyways, we're here to look into God's Word. For opening, I would like to read Psalm 8, verse 1. It says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. So let's just bow forward in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We are thankful. We're thankful for the country we live in. We're thankful for this opportunity that we can come to church every morning. Lord, we often complain about our government, yet your word tells us we are not to do this, but we are to pray for them. And so we pray for them, Lord, that they would look to you for wisdom and not of themselves, that they could lead this country in an upright manner, in a way that would be pleasing to you, so that you could heal our land and your name could be glorified. Thank you, Lord, that have listened to your spirit this morning to come to this house of prayer, where you want to see what you have to say to us through your spirit and through your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're always gracious even when we come short. We pray for the song leading team this morning, as it's not the group that usually does it, but Lord, you give strength to each one individually. That's who you are, and that's what you made us for. So we pray, Lord, that whatever we do in song and word be to honor you, we could all be encouraged to live for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 62 in the blue hymnal. You're welcome to stand.
I am.
10.
Savior can see every Jesus is very near.
Thank you very much. So, Wilmer, is that your name? Wilmer, right? Wilmer, okay. So, don't go away from here thinking you made a mistake. Go away from here thinking what the song said. We all make mistakes. I know how that feels. I make lots of them. So, this morning we're here and we want to talk about prayer. And I guess that's how I came up about this topic. When Brother Henry messaged me and asked if I would speak here, and I told my wife, and she said, what do you think you're going to speak on? And I had a couple of ideas, and we talked about it a little bit. And then when I actually, earlier in the week, started to prepare my message, I prayed, and I had this little book on my office desk, and it said how to pray. And it just seems like God just answered my prayer right there. So let's look a little bit into, I think, prayer we're all familiar with, and maybe we think we don't even need to talk about it, and yet it's the most important thing in our lives when communicating with God. In Jeremiah chapter 33, 1 to 3, it says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time while he was yet shut up in the court of the presence, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, and the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So he tells us that we are to call unto him. I think it has a lot to do, or I know it has a lot to do of how we think of prayer. How do we think of God? If we look in Revelation chapter 7, it tells us that we have a very holy God. Revelation 7, verse 9 to 12, it says this, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, who sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood around about the throne, about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." So we see here that God is very holy. If he were to appear in spirit here, I'm sure we would all fall down and worship him. If we look in the Old Testament, times of all the kings that were there, we'll read, and if let's say Esther, let's take Esther for example. When she came into Xerxes, she bowed herself. They would say, "Oh, king, live forever." That's how the high reverence they held of their leader. So how are we to think of our God that created the universe and everything in it, including us, all of us that are here today? I think with our human mind, we can't even fully comprehend how holy and great he is. And so sometimes maybe we're a little bit guilty of not giving him the credit that he deserves, the glory that he deserves. So then that brings me to when we say table grace. You know, sometimes we've been at some places and it'll be, thank you, God, for food, and everybody's into the food. Or maybe even our children, or maybe even some of us as adults. We have a prayer, maybe we say, "Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food to us be blessed by the hands we all are fed. Thank you, Lord, for daily bread." But we don't really think of it. We're just thinking of the wonderful food that's been prepared before us, right? So it's important what's in our heart when we pray. God wants to have this communication with us. So those of us that are here today, you all have children or you are a child. So how would we think of it? The Bible tells us when we have received Jesus as our Lord and Savior that we become children of God. So what would we think of if our children, they were around us, but they never said anything to us? It would feel very strange, wouldn't it? So then let's think about prayer, our Heavenly Father. He wants to communicate with us. Now, when he put Adam and Eve in the garden, we read that God came and walked through the garden in the cool of the day, and he communed with them. But then they sinned, and they were separated. And so in the Old Testament, very often, well, especially for sins, there had to be sacrifice given, and later on when God instituted priests and so forth, they were the ones that were given a responsibility to pray for the people, to do sacrifices and forgiveness of sins. But when Jesus came, then that was changed. That veil in the temple where only the high priest could go into, it ripped while he was hanging on the cross. And then that's where it became that me and you have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit and through praying. So if we look at Jesus as in our example, he was sinless, and yet it says in Mark 1:35, and in the morning rising up a great while before day. So we might say in the middle of the night, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. So isn't it important for us to spend time in prayer? I would think so. Then another example we have in Matthew 14:23, he says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when evening was come, he was there alone. So we need to take time to pray. When it says pray without ceasing, it doesn't mean that we just pray all the time. Then I wouldn't be able to talk to you here. I would just be praying, right? But it means that we never quit praying in our life. Be it morning, be it noon, be it any time. Praying is a communication to God. And so we should have this communication every day. And sometimes at all hours, something happens and we think of the Lord. Even while we're working. We need to pray earnestly. So like I said with the example of table grace, we need to, in our minds, really be thankful because without him, nothing would grow. We can see the difference in our country, in our province, in our area, just from last year to this year. Last year, he didn't send an abundance of rain. And things didn't grow very well. I'm a cattle farmer. You know, we didn't have much feed. But as it turned out, in the end, he sent the rains in August after some people had harvested. And the oats grew back like this. And it was thick and lush. And a farmer came to me and he says, do you need feed? And I said, yeah, I need feed. Well, he says, my heavy land, that's too much to do the fall work, to work that all in. Would you want to make that feed? So sometimes God supplies our need even without praying. I felt a peace about it. Sometimes I have this attitude of what, all of water. I don't know if it's the right attitude, but it happened. In this case, it happened. And so we had enough feed. This year, we have an abundance of rain. And we might say we're having too much rain. Well, according to the Lord, we're not having too much rain. But things are growing. We have, for us in the cattle industry, we have lots of grass. So we can see that he wants the connection. He wants us to pray. But to answer, he's being a sovereign God, an all-knowing God. He will answer when it's the best for us. And the best for us is he wants us to be closer to him, to commune with him, to be closer to him. And so sometimes these prayers, we seem, well, they don't seem to be answered. And there's probably a reason that only he knows. Talking about praying earnestly, look about to Jesus again. He says, when he was about to be crucified, Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling to the ground. So that's how hard he prayed. When you cut yourself and and blood drops to the ground. That's how he was sweating from praying. We may sweat. It's human these days. Yesterday, you could work up a pretty good sweat without too much energy even. But to when you're praying, have we ever prayed that we were sweating like that? And yet Jesus did, and he was without sin. So it just tells us that we need to take this very seriously. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What does this verse say? There's times when we are down and maybe we have committed some sin, and one way out is to confess it to someone who's close to us, someone who believes in the Lord, and then they can pray for us. So we are to pray for one another that we can be healed from whatever our burdens are. But then it also says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. What's a righteous man? The word righteousness, the way I understand it, means in right standing with God. When we read through the Psalms, we read very often where David is talking about the righteous and the wicked, and how God will hear the righteous, but the wicked he won't. So we need to be in right standing with God. We need to confess our faults. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So this is a spiritual thing that we're doing. Watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. We have to persevere. And we should pray for all saints, meaning brothers and sisters in the Lord. Another reason is, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not me against you and you against me. That's not where the problem comes. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, ideas, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world. We see a lot of darkness in this world. We see parades going on, LGBTQ parades. What for? I think as Christians, maybe we should have a parade once a week, maybe once a month. I don't know. I think more important is we live out our lives. But we see, when we read about those things, homosexuality, God says that's an abomination. So why would you have a parade that's an abomination to him? So we see there's darkness. So there again, we need to pray for these people. It doesn't help to go tell them how bad and wicked you are. We need to pray and tell them that God loves you and we're all sinners and we've come short of the glory of God. And that he wants to cleanse us from these things. That's when they will change. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in that evil day, and having done all to stand. Satan is still up to his tricks just when he was with Adam and Eve. He came very subtly. Should God have said that you're going to die? Is that really a bad fruit that you shouldn't eat? That's how he is. But we have a connection when we pray. Psalms 145, 18, the Lord is nigh unto them that call upon him, that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. These are things that are promised to us. So why do we sometimes feel that our prayers aren't heard? And this is something I think we can all relate to. And you know, when you make up a message, for me, anyways, I think of myself, and because I think other people have a lot of the same experiences. So why sometimes when I pray, it seems like I'm not being heard? And this is, we have to look at ourselves. God is sovereign. It's not his problem if we think that we're not being heard. It's not on his part. It's on our part. But praise the Lord, we have his word, and it shows us the way how we can know that we're going to be heard. If we look at James 4, verse 3, James, and he says, mentions a number of things there, but I'll just read verse 3. It says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. So if I were to pray, Lord, give me a new car, that I can ride around town, show off I got a new car. Maybe that's an extreme. But even, let's really think about it when we pray. What are we praying for? Is this for our benefit or is this for his benefit? When he says, when we pray the Lord's Prayer and it says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What's his will? Are we praying for his will? When we pray for his will, we get these blessings. We have peace in our heart. Peace that passes all understanding. It only comes from God. So we have to ask ourselves, what is my real reason for praying for some things? Is it to honor God? Or is it that it may be easier for me? Paul prayed 3 times for a thorn in the flesh. God said, my grace is sufficient. He used that, whatever it was that was bothering Paul, to his glory. I sometimes think of people that are in a wheelchair. And yet when you meet them, they're so happy. They're happy with their lot, even though everybody around them is running around, because they have this peace of God in their heart. And God is using them. You know, I was listening to a song just the other day where it's called He Is Everywhere, and the singer says, I see it in a baby's smile. I see it in everyone around us when we have the joy of the Lord in us. That's where it is. Sometimes it may be that we have sin in our lives. Psalmist David says in Psalm 66, 18, he says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So we need to take a look at ourselves. Am I the problem? Is there a problem that I have maybe some unconfessed sin? Would I like to have it my way? These type of things. Psalms 139, 23 says, search me, O God. We know that God said David was a man after God's own heart. Why was that? He committed lots of sins, including adultery and murder. We could say, he Bathsheba's husband, we know the story, right? He said, go put him in front of the lines of the battle so he will be killed. In today's language, it would be accessory to murder. You were part of it. But he said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way everlasting. So let that be part of our prayer. And let's see if we won't be blessed. I'm sure we will be. Because God will show us. Another thing that very often is it gets in the way, and I think this might be the biggest thing in our lives. We all have somebody, know somebody that has done us wrong, said something, or we hear from other people, or these days it's on social media. I remember a neighbor a few years ago, he was very upset because his neighbor had put on that a couple of his calves were missing. And I don't think he had intentionally put it on this way, but the way it came out, it was they were in the neighbor's fence. And so this other neighbor figured, I'm not a thief. They got in there by themselves. They were out of his fence, came to my fence. I didn't put them there. Come and get them. So we have to be careful. You know, all you young people, you're always on your phones. I know. I see it. Be careful what you put on. Let it be God-honoring. So then we have an unforgiving spirit sometimes. Mark 11, 25, and when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. We can't expect to have our prayers answered if we're bitter, if we can't forgive somebody else. You know, in Matthew 6, when we read the Lord's Prayer, it's always abfold. Sometimes I don't have the right word in English. Sometimes I don't have the right word in German. It's when we read the whole prayer and it says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us, or our debts as we forgive our debtors. And then after the prayer, 2 verses later, Jesus says, if we don't forgive others, God will not forgive us. But if we forgive others, he will be faithful and forgive us. That's the only part of the prayer that's repeated. None of the others are. Why is that? It's important. So we need to forgive. Sometimes when we have something against the other person, it's like that other person may not even know that we have something against them. So it's like if we were drinking poison and hoping that person would die. Because we're the ones that are being poisoned by these thoughts that Satan is putting round and round in our head. But we can have freedom from that if we pray and confess that to God, and he will forgive us. Another verse that struck me a number of years ago, and that's it speaks to husbands, and in this case it really spoke to me, and it was in 1 Peter 3, verse 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, it's talking about his wives, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And I thought, wow, how am I treating my wife? I want my prayers to be heard. But it says here that if we don't treat our wife in a godly way, our prayers will be hindered. It says that your prayers be not hindered. Tell us how we treat our spouses. In 1 Peter 3, verse 1, it talks to the wives. It says, likewise, ye wives, be subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they may, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives. So there's instruction for the wife. But for the wife, it will be a lot easier to do this if the husband is doing his part. And the Bible teaches us that we as husbands are to be the spiritual leaders. So let's do that. Let's look at some of these things that are written in word, in the Word, and let's just follow them. And we will reap the blessings. It's not, I have to do this, I have to do that. This is what we will want to do. Why? Because we love Jesus. And he paid for our sins, and he made it so that we can go to heaven. Salvation is full and free. So then these works will follow us. We also want to be persistent in prayer. Prayer being a conversation. When we pray and then be quiet and just, what is he saying? What are the thoughts that are coming to our mind? Like I said about this topic today, I prayed and I just was quiet for a while, and then I had this little book laying there for months. I had looked at it a little bit once in a while, and it seemed like this is what he wanted. So our Heavenly Father wants us to talk to him, but he also wants us not to give up. But in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it talks about not being careful. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything when we're praying. But in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. So these can be requests of healing. These can be requests for our personal needs, but for his glory, not for ours. That's the difference. And then he says, if we're praying with supplication, with thanksgiving, and we make our requests be known to God, he says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if we don't have peace, let's go to his word. Let's look into his word. Let's pray, and he will give us the answer. Because he wants that communication with us. He loves us so much. And he just like I said before, with our own children. It would feel very weird if they didn't say anything, right? You want to have a communication. And as they grow older and become teenagers, it's sometimes a little bit hard, right? Is it hard to communicate with mom and dad? It's a smile. It is, because we're at different levels at that time. So we as parents have to be patient. We have to try and understand what they're saying. How are they looking at it, you know? I one time had a discussion with one of my boys. And we disagreed. It was on a spiritual matter, or a biblical, how he understood the Bible, how I understood the Bible. So we disagreed, but we didn't have a hot argument about it. I finally said to him, you know, you're my son, and I'm your dad, and this is how I understand it, and I feel this is what I have to tell you. And so we still talk today. Don't get mad. Don't get mad at your children. Have patience. Pray. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to share a story about that. Another thing is, in John 15, verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. What will we want to ask? We want to ask what God wants us to ask, and the Spirit will tell us what we want to ask. And then we also need to be humble. Humble isn't dressing in a certain way or going around with our head down. If we're truly humble and we have Jesus in our heart, we're going to walk with our head up because we know Jesus has saved us. We're going to have that joy in our heart. We're going to greet others with a smile. It will just happen. If we allow it, the Spirit, it will just happen. What he means by being humble is that we're open to correction. You know, I sometimes have to make apologies. Sometimes have to phone people and say, you know, I apologize for what I said. That's my problem. See, for me, it's exactly opposite than what the Apostle James talks about, being swift to hear and slow to speak. I have it the other way around. So I always have to work on it. I'm quick to speak, and slow to hear. So I have to work on that. But if we can humble ourselves, and when somebody points it out to us, let's be humble. Let's say, yeah, I'm wrong. That attitude, having that attitude is what God wants. Because he says he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisted the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. So now I want to share a story about persistence in prayer. If I can find it here. I thought I'd put a bookmark in here, but I guess I didn't. Says how to pray when a prodigal wanders. So this would be maybe for us as parents, and maybe we have our children, we see they're going away, we believe is not God's way. So there was this lady, and in the story it says it was Julie's mother. And people described her as quiet and gentle. She was not the kind of person who would demand to be heard or who would want the center of attention. She rarely raised her voice. She was humble and meek. When she was blessed in Christ's presence, she didn't shout or loud or dance in the aisles. She just sat quietly, bowed her head, and cried. Julie's mom would never think of praying aloud or a long prayer in public. Yet her family knew she frequently went to her prayer closet. Everyone could sense she had an anointing from the heavenly realm in her heart. In fact, people in grocery stores or in waiting rooms, or anywhere the family would go, sought her out and asked her to remember them in prayer. So they could see there was something about this person. So we could say she was filled with the Spirit, and it just overflowed. And people could see that. It says, Julie's father died unexpectedly at an early age, so her mother was left to raise Julie and her younger sister on her own. While the sister gave no trouble at all, Julie became a prodigal. Prodigal means she went her own way. So despite her mother's love and the Christian teaching that she had from young on, she would attend church on Sundays, but she lived a secret church life outside the church. So she made it look good. But God is not fooled, right? And her mother wasn't fooled either. She knew the truth all along. And so she prayed and prayed. It says prayed without ceasing. She never quit praying for her daughter. It doesn't mean any minute of the day, but whenever she prayed for her daughter. So years went by, but she still prayed. And then an accident happened. And Julie was in an accident. A drunk driver hit the motorcycle she was riding, and it crushed her leg. She was rushed to emergency surgery, and the medical team was uncertain if her leg could be saved. They were talking about amputation. It was a very real possibility. Julie's mother prayed again. So Julie was in and out of consciousness for the next few days. She remembered opening her eyes and seeing the sweet face of her mother, who was at her bedside smoothing her hair and holding her hand. Even when Julie couldn't open her eyes, she could hear her mother's prayers being whispered on her behalf. Prayers of a saint. We're calling out to Jesus for Julie. The word of God was spoken over her body and soul. For several weeks, after several weeks of medical debate, the doctors decided not to amputate Julie's leg because miraculously it had begun to heal. Her mother celebrated the answered prayer with tears. Then she left. She left Julie's room, walked through the hospital chapel, and worshiped Jesus. Let's not give up. Sometimes prayers aren't even answered in our lifetime. There have been instances where the parents have prayed for their children and it didn't happen while they were alive. But it happened after. God is faithful. So it's not always as instant as my prayer for the topic for today. Sometimes it's a few days. Sometimes it's years. And sometimes we may not even notice that the prayer has been answered, because God answers it in a different way. But let's never give up. Let's keep that communication line open. Let's keep praying. I don't know how you have it here, but in our church, I have found that it's not always the prayer requests make the bulletin. Sometimes something comes up right that morning. God calls us to be faithful. One morning I was, as I'm normally deacon, I sit over there and in our church I can see part way into the entrance, not the whole way. And it was during the time when we still were supposed to be spaced out, and so with our small church we had people sitting in the foyer as well as in front. And so this one couple came in just before start, and so they ended up sitting in the foyer. And so just before the minister was going to have closing on the second part, he stood there and I saw him and he said like this to me. So I went there. Excuse me. And he says, we got a phone call just before we came to church, and he's from Paraguay originally. And he says, my nephew in Paraguay got driven over by a tractor. Can we pray for him? And so we did. It ended up though that he passed away. But we can pray for him. So I will just open the floor here. If any of you have a prayer request, don't be shy. You can say it, and as we go to kneel, we can pray for whatever. It says pray for one another. And we are in a house of prayer. Jesus said this is a house of prayer. So if there's any prayer requests, just raise your hand, shout it out. And if not, then that's fine. We don't have all those. Sometimes we have, sometimes we don't. But I always feel it's important to give that opportunity. Okay, with that, let's in closing pray and then we'll kneel. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could have this time of looking in your word, how you encourage us with your word, how you build us up, Lord, that we're not discouraged, but we can always look to you, come to you in prayer, never quit praying, but always call on you morning, evening, night, whenever, because you're always there. What amazing God you are, who can be always there, no matter how many billion people are praying at the same time. So I thank you for this congregation that has come prayerfully and prayed for me to bring out your word and give me strength. We pray now, Lord, at the close of the service, that you will just bless these words that have been spoken, that they will honor you, that we will be encouraged to walk closer with you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Would you just now kneel with me for those who are able? Just sound to us and give us peace. For closing, I want to read a verse out of 1 John 5:14 and then also the benediction. 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we will ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So let's remember that as we go from here. For benediction, I've chosen Philippians 4, verse 19. and 20. Philippians 4, 19 and 20. It says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. Now unto you, now unto God and our Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen." So go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.